I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today.
Hey, listener, this is Arnie Chapman, founder of the Sports History Network and host of the Football History Dude podcast. Now, I'm stopping by this feed here to tell you about a new sponsor we have on the network. It's Play Classic Sports Simulation Board Games, spelled with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y. Realistic board game recreations of professional football, hockey, baseball, NASCAR, golf, and more. They cover nine sports in all, with a 10th, basketball, coming in 2022. You can relive great seasons of the past, create what-if matchups from different eras, and much more. It's fun. If you're into sports history, you should go and check them out. That's Play with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y, classic.com. Use the code SHN at checkout and get 10% off your first order. Now, this is just a snippet of the interview, which you can find the full interview over at SHN Showcase. So please enjoy this snippet of the interview with Keith and Sam. Out the whole night, and then, like you said, waking up and just doing it over again. Different realm, different life or era, but the same kind of thing. But let's flash forward just a little bit. I mean, I guess maybe you started kind of giving me the why you started starting the board games. Let's give me the when, and then let's explain for the listener of the show what Play Games is all about.
Play Games originally was all about sports simulation board games. That should be distinguished from sports games and sports simulations. Originally, this would go back to when I was in college. That's kind of when I decided, I'm going to make my own game. And I started working on my own game. That would have been 1978 or so. And my football game, again, as I said, my biggest sports interest is in professional football. And so naturally, that was where, I spent most of my childhood playing, board football games. And that's where I was, kind of prompted to begin my sports board game design career, as it were. The beginnings of my football game were in 1978. By the mid 80s, 83, 84, 85, I had like a working version of what I currently offer on the website, Second Season Football. It came out, was released in 1999. It was a period of time between, 1990 and 1999, that decade there where I had the game in a finished form and I was just kind of sending it out to folks. So I was connected with Jim Gordon's sports game message board in the early days of the internet. And I would connect with people and they'd say, hey, that sounds really interesting. Could you send me a copy? And so I'd send them a copy. And after a while, it started kind of getting too expensive to send a copy. So I charged people $5 to have it made, to print it at Kinko's or whatever and send it to them. And then eventually over time, it got to the point where, I'm going to go ahead and put this on the web. That was 1999. And my original strategy in doing a sports board game company was to do, I had the football game. I also had a wrestling game. And I had a third game, a space alien invasion game, which, doesn't really fit in the mix. But I figured, well, what the heck, I'll put it on there too. And my strategy in the early 2000s quickly became, I'm going to focus on sports which don't have a board game presence. Everybody had, you know, there's Strat-O-Matic baseball and hockey and basketball. All the major sports were covered, but you know, nobody made a lacrosse game. Nobody made a roller derby game. Nobody had made, I guess there were a couple of bowling games, but you know, a demolition derby game. I was focusing on sports that were like of lesser interest, but still had some sort of a following. Then eventually, I mean, giving you sort of the thumbnail here, we began to expand into the major sports. It became clear to me once my radio career started to kind of, you know, end, and I began to seriously consider doing sports board games as a second career. You know, it became pretty obvious to me that, well, you know, if you're going to succeed as a sports board game company, you're going to have a baseball game. And so, developed that. I had an idea in mind, worked on that. We can talk more about that later, but, over time, between 2000, I relaunched Play Games in 2009 after focusing on my radio career. I launched Play Games late 1999, and shut it down in 2004 so that I could concentrate on my radio career. It was getting to the point, radio at that point was not quite where it is now, but it was going there. It was like, okay, it used to be in radio, you wanted to specialize in something. You wanted to be really good at one thing, whether it was being a radio personality or a copywriter or, you know, a programmer or a music director. And, you know, the idea of a jack of all trades, you know, good at everything, or, you know, capable at everything, but not good, really good at anything, was sort of laughed at in radio in those days. But then it started to shift where it's like, well, we got to start firing people. Now people are going to have to wear multiple hats. And so that's where I found myself in 2004. It's like, okay, I can't be just a disc jockey anymore. I'm going to have to start doing more. So I had to, you know, I really didn't have the spare time to be able to focus on sports board games. So I put it aside and then focused on my radio career for 5 years. And eventually, you know, just kind of all, it's a whole nother story, but bottom line is in 2009, it's like, okay, I can see my future is not going to be in radio. It's going to have to be in sports board games. So I relaunched Play Games in 2009 with a different strategy. At that point, it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to be a serious sports board game company, I'm going to have the major sports, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, you know. And then I began to kind of drift away from the original strategy of doing these little boutique games that nobody, you know, for sports that not that many people really cared about. So that was kind of a landmark shift. And, you know, fast forward to today, where, you know, we see that the idea of a sports simulation board game is, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say going out of style, but clearly the future doesn't look too rosy for sports simulation board games, despite our best efforts to preserve them and advance the cause. So in 2018, we made the decision. My son was in college at the time. We kind of made the decision, you know, I think we should try to expand out into other kinds of games, not just sports games. So Sam joined the company in 2019. And that's when we launched Play Now. So we have Play Classic, which is the sports simulation games, which of course your audience is going to be interested in. And then we moved to Play Now, which is non-sports, non-simulation games. And that's a whole different thing. So all that to say, that's when you say, what is Play? You know, what's Play all about? That's kind of the backstory to it. We're ever changing. We're evolving to a place where, you know, we want to stay relevant for the 2020s, and you know, without discarding the heritage of you know the 1970s and 80s with sports simulation board games.
So when you said introduce these new games, and then the initial, I know you kind of altered the one. Would you consider, and I don't know if that's the right term, like you author all of these games, or do you have other people that work on them with you?
Well, I author them myself. I do have a trusted group of play testers who help out with, you know, giving me input. And, you know, a good play tester is really, really hard to find. There are plenty of people who are willing to volunteer to play test your game, but oftentimes they don't provide you with really, you know, salient, useful information. I mean, it's not that helpful to say, yeah, I played it, really loved it. You know, it's like, well, you know, what about it? Did you like, what didn't you like? So over the years, I've been doing this now for 20 something years. And so I've developed this, this core group of really trusted people, many of whom I've never met in person, which is interesting. And they've provided me great feedback. So I would say I've authored them, but with the help of, you know, a group of really solid sports board gamers.
So you have your advisors, the knights at the round table that help you get to the right board game, the right combination.
Right. Well, usually we're working on the, it's not the board game, but, you know, we've decided we're working on a specific sport. Like right now we're working on basketball and, you know, they'll be giving me input on whether this feels right or this doesn't feel right. This is happening too often. This isn't happening often enough. Here's a factor that the game doesn't seem to capture it, and it's pretty important. Let's build something in that will capture that. That's the kind of input that they give me. It's really, really helpful.
Do you ever work with statisticians or any of that type of thing that help this along? Or,
well, you know, there's two camps in the sports simulation board game world. There's the stat camp. The people who are all about the statistics, to them, it's almost that you know, the game itself doesn't matter. It's the statistics that matter that you're going to generate from the game. How close are they going to come to real life? And for those people, it's stats, stats, and more stats. And then there's the other group, which is the group that we aim for, which is more narrative driven. Where the number, you know, you want to have realistic, reasonable stats, but we're not so concerned about recreating statistics as we are recreating the feel and the sensation of watching or coaching a particular sport. So our games are story driven. Many of the results hinge upon a player having or not having a certain quality. And if he has it, he'll make this great play or do something special. If he doesn't have it, then he doesn't do it. So it's very much, oh wow, you know, he had a chance to make the big play and didn't, or did. You know, it's very much, you know, a narrative driven type thing, as opposed to rolling a dice and rolling within a range of, you know, 30 to 35 this happens, 36 to 41 this happens, 42 to 55, you know, using two d10s, and you're basically just kind of finding a result as a result of where the dice fall.
We definitely do use stats to create the players and ratings for each of the seasons. And for those, there's plenty of websites with references that I'm sure you're familiar with that give you, you know, accurate statistics representations of seasons and stuff like that. So it's not to say that we don't use stats in the games. It's just not quite as much of a focus for ours as some other sports board games make it.
Right, exactly.
So it's fair to say like that's part of the recipe, but the secret sauce is that you're focusing on the narrative and the story to be part of it and live that experience kind of thing.
Very, yes, that's very true. And we've got a really loyal and growing group of folks who are really appreciate that approach, which is gratifying. Not to say that everybody does, but you know, and that's fine. You know, whatever. I always tell people, fun is what you think it is. If you think it's fun, you know, and if you think that adding up statistics and comparing them to real life is fun, well, then that's legitimate fun. So, you know, I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying there are people for whom the narrative is fun, and we really value those people, and they spend a lot of time with us.
Oh, for sure. I mean, going back to, like you said at the outset of this interview, of how radio has shifted and you have more micro niche, and now that's kind of what you are. You're the niche of the narrative story, and to be able to relive the experience, which you kind of dug into a little bit of some of the questions we were going to get into. One of the questions there would be, I saw on the site how it says these games, there's a category that says solitaire, almost like you can play these games by themselves. Like, How does that work? How would you describe how someone could play one of these games by themselves?
Well, primarily, that really is one of the distinguishing factors of what we do and our game design philosophy, which also, you know, to a certain extent carries over to play now. And the idea is many games, well, you know, the majority of the hobby game press, hobby board game industry focuses on developing multiplayer games, which can then be maybe adapted to play solo by making some different rules or something. There is a growing solitaire board game community aside from sports, but our games have always been solitaire first. They've always been designed for people to play by themselves, primarily really from a practical standpoint, because it's really hard to find people to play these games against. There's not a lot of people. I don't know that there really ever has been a lot of people who play sports simulation board games. Certainly it was more popular in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. But even then, I don't think it was, you know, mass appeal. It was still kind of a niche thing even then. So most people, I think, have difficulty finding people to play against. So by necessity, you know, the games have had to be developed to be solitaire. As a side note, you know, we've done a number of conventions over the past few years, and it's amazing how we'll always have somebody come. Usually, multiple people have come. They've never played a sports game against somebody else. It's all their entire, and these people might be, you know, 40, 50 years old, 60 years old. Their entire sports board game experience is solitaire. They have never played a game against anybody else, and they're just delighted when they find other people who have that same interest. So our games have always been designed, the sports games have always been designed to be played solitaire first. And the way that works is, again, it's a simulation game. So you're simulating a professional sport, and it recreates the experience of like watching a game on TV in many ways. There are strategic elements that have been that are added. So for example, the football game, for example, the offensive coach has a selection of six different offensive plays they can call, and there are four different defenses that can be called. And when you're playing head to head, you know, the offensive player, the offensive coach chooses which offensive play he's going to run and who he's going to throw the ball to, or run the ball with. And the defensive player chooses what defensive setting he's going to use. And then you reveal and then you roll the dice and see what happens. When you're playing solitaire, there is a series of, there are auto coach, you know, solitaire defense and offense systems where you can roll the dice to make that play call for you. So you can, typically, the classic mode of playing a sports simulation game, like a football game, would be you decide what play you're going to call. You'll roll a die or dice to determine what defensive setting was called. Then you roll the dice to see what happens on the play. And then you'll record the result and move on to the next play. So you're not so much playing the game against somebody. You're just sort of you're conducting this simulation and watching it unfold before you as it happens. And with the same frequency, the same, you know, the same kind of experience you'd have watching a game on TV. So we're with football when you're playing it solitaire.
Like the delivery methods or the mechanisms for the listener that wants to purchase the games. And of course, there's the physical board games, and then there's also the option to, like I saw, to download. And then it said if you have a 3D printer, then you can go ahead and get some of these pieces. So let's go ahead and talk about that. The options for the listener, if they're going out to purchase a board game, and what they could do from your company.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Sure. So the website, of course, is playclassic.com. That's P-L-A-A-Y classic.com. Two A's in there. And that's the only place that our games are available, our sports games at least. The non-sports games is on playnow.com. So it's playnow.com. So similar shopping experience on both sites. We do all of our sales online, so we don't sell in any retail stores or any Amazon, anything like that. It's all direct from our website. And anything you order from our website comes right from our house. We operate it all out of our basement here, and so anything you get from us is shipping from our main headquarters location. We assemble it ourselves. So yeah, I guess I would encourage listeners to give it a click, check it out. We've laid out all of the games on there. It's very easy to navigate. We also have a YouTube channel that I would recommend checking out before you purchase any games. If you're on the fence about if this is something that you might be interested in or not, we have a YouTube channel where we just twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, we stream live, and usually it's just playing games. We play a lot of our games. Sometimes it's not so much gameplay, but more just kind of other miscellaneous variety show type things. But there's definitely plenty of demos on there if you have any questions about how the game is played, or if you're wondering if it's something you're interested in. And if you have any more direct questions, you can always contact us as well. We've got a contact link right there on the front page of the site that you can get in touch with us by if you have more questions besides that.
Perfect. And Sam, just one last reminder, where can the listener get their hands on their next favorite game?
Sure. That is going to be PLAAY Classic, CLASSIC.com. And then of course the non-sports board games will be on playnow.com. That's PLAAYNOW.com.
Or you can just go to play.com, PLAAY.com, and it's the hub for both. And then just click on the game you want.
That's true.
That's probably easier. Five letters, PLAAY.
Again, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/play, PLAAY, to listen to the full interview, as well as sign up for your chance to win the giveaway right now. And again, don't forget to use that promo code SHN at checkout. That's SHN for 10% off your first order. This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through. Sports Social Podcast Network.